You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through Judges. And we left off, I was talking about the idolatry of Baal and Ashtaroth worship, and which led into how it's still being practiced today, which somehow led me to give you the idea or share with you the idea that I have about what may happen on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where the Dome of the Rock sits now, that Islamic mosque. And the only thing that I can see that makes any sense to me is if they also build a cathedral there and a synagogue, because I don't see that that they're ever going to build another Hebrew temple and start slaughtering animals on the temple again. So it's more likely that they'll build a cathedral and a synagogue there, and they'll all sit side by side. Why not? They all use the Pope's calendar, and they're all coming together, are they not? We can see it. At least I can see it, for those of us who have eyes to see. So perhaps what's going to happen on the Temple Mount? That may be a brand new idea. But that's the idea that I have of what may happen there. And my guess is as good as anybody's, and maybe it's better than many guesses out there. Okay, let's jump back into our text here. We have the short chronicle of several judges without much commentary on what they did, just how long they reigned. And it says here in Judges chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of Yahuwah their God, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth." We're all familiar with Ashtaroth, and Baalim is just another form of idolatry, and there's plenty of idolatry out there. So one form of idolatry is just as good as another. And it says, "And the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook Yahuwah, the Lord, and served him not. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto Yahuwah." They cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned." You know, so what will it take? What does it take for people to cry unto the Lord? Well, they will. If the Chinese come in, they will. If, I don't know who can come against America besides the Chinese, or maybe a group of other nations, and vex us, then will the people cry. Because then will all of the welfare and the help of the state and all of their temples be broken down. But don't worry. You know what? If the Lord delivers them, they'll do just what the children of Israel did. After a little time of peace and prosperity, they'll forget all about the Lord their God, which delivered them in their time of trouble. And, you know, when we have Memorial Day, well, the memorial is to what? To the men who fought, of course. Why not? Why not to God who gives us strength? Why do we not look to what caused? Why did the Heavenly Father allow this evil to come upon a people? So anyway, they forsook, and it says, "They cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, and the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Zidonians, also the Amalekites, and the Moabites? did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods, therefore I will deliver you no more. Oh, man, that's not what they wanted to hear, is it? Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. And the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people of the princes of Gilead said to one another, What man that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? And he shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bore him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men unto Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come, and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Do not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why do you come unto me now, when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not do so according to thy words. I don't understand why they're going to a man that they thrust out, but let's read on here. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head of the captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messenger of Jephthah, Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even to Jabbok, and unto Jordan, now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. Boy, isn't kind of the same thing happening over there in Israel right now? Don't we kind of see the same kind of thing going on over there? It's just interesting, the parallel. And Jephthah sent messengers again to the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness, and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, and came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent a messenger unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel, and said unto him, Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast, but Sihon gathered all his people together, and pitched in Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto the Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? Well, he knew his history fairly well, did he not? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whosoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aor and her towns, and in all those cities that be along by the coast of Arnon 300 years, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. Yahuwah, the Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent to him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aor, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And when it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said to her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity on the mountain. And it came to pass at the end of the 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Now, what a sad and terrible story. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when the Ephraimites, which were escaped, said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? And he said, nay. Then said they unto him, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan. So basically, it seems that they even had their different accents and ways of speech, that they couldn't say a word a certain way, so that their speech betrayed them. And there fell at the time of the Ephraimites 42,000. So we've got kind of a little civil war going here too in Israel. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And I guess one lesson we can learn from Jephthah is to never open your mouth and make a vow rashly, especially a vow that you don't know what it's going to be, as Jephthah did. As the Messiah said, swear neither by heaven or by earth. And that's a good thing to do, because if we put that into action, anytime you sign a document, are you not taking an oath? Are you not taking an oath? And usually, like when you sign up for benefits, you're taking an oath to adhere to a certain law. And so if you take an oath to a law, then, and if you want out of the oath, well, you can't just forsake it. You have to perhaps look to the law of the oath for the way out. Perhaps there is one. So it takes wisdom when you're backing away from the beast and all of the entanglements. Let's say you're tangled in a net. You can't just run out of it because you become more tangled up in it. You must carefully disentangle yourself from the net. So that's some pretty good advice, if I have to say so myself. If you're trying to disentangle yourself from things that you've got yourself tangled into, of course, Jephthah had no way of disentangling himself from the net that he got himself in when he swore to God something. What a terrible thing to do. And that's what people do today. You know, it's like I speak about often, you know, the people who become card-carrying members into the unjust weight and balance monetary system, because you can trade in their notes, you know, the Federal Reserve notes or whatever notes of whatever country you're in. All of these notes are put out by the same money cartel, the international money cartel. And in the nations where they rule, they always have a number for card-carrying members. So say you want to get a loan, you want to monetize, get a loan, you want a credit card, you want to buy a car, you know, an overpriced vehicle, or buy a home. Well, you have to have a number. You also have to have a number to partake in their employment services, in their employer services. So you can take advantage of all that has to offer. Of course, you have to have an identifying number to become part of that. And when you sign up for that number, you're signing up for the benefit system. You're not just signing up and saying, give me a number, just for the number's sake. No, that's you're signing up for benefits. And you're signing up for a contract that may change at any time. So you have to be aware that whatever they promised you, well, their promises can change. So it's a very bad idea to swear by heaven or earth or anything on the earth to any covenant, to sign your, name and swear to something, but then try to walk away without disentangling yourself, because you can get hurt. I mean, they have rights. I guess that's why people go to prison for not keeping their agreement and their covenant that they signed up for when they signed up for benefits. They just say, I'm not going to do it. And then they go to court and they go, well, look, you signed this agreement. And some of them will defiantly say, show me the law, when everywhere they put their identifying number, they acknowledge the agreement and the law that they're being judged by. Yes. We need to walk with understanding. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Yes, you want to disentangle yourself slowly from whatever net you got yourself in so that you don't become more tangled up in it. And they cast you into prison, because they are casting a lot of people into prison who hastily try to get out of the net, who think they can just walk away. And they fall down, not realizing that their feet are tangled up in the net, and they become more entangled because they struggle against the net rather than patiently work their way out of it and make themselves free and make sure they're free before they walk away from it. Yes, I can give advice. That's advice for living. It's not legal advice, so that's my disclaimer. Okay, so where are we there? Yes, commentating on Jephthah and his hasty oath that he took to God, which cost him dearly. How unfortunate. But there is a lesson to be learned there. So, Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, then died Jephthah the Gileadite, and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And it's time for a break. Somehow I didn't hear that. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.